All right. Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, 9 a.m., the day after the build party. So many thanks you all for being early birds here today. This is Build with Bing. Please be very welcome. I am Andre Furtado. I am the product lead for Bing APIs. And I'm here today with Vincent Warren, who is the product lead for Bing Webmaster Experiences. And our goal today is only one. We want you to make awesome apps. And we believe you can do so by leveraging APIs and tools that Bing provides so that you can make your app much more discoverable and make them richer as well. Now, you might rightfully ask, hey, Andre, can you tell me what credentials Bing has, really, to make my app awesome? You might say, I won't be able to answer your evaluation survey in the end of this session unless you really can convince me, really, what are the credentials that Bing has to make your apps awesome. Well, my answer to that is quite brief, actually. Bing has increasingly become the intelligence engine behind many solutions in the industry. Some of those solutions are actually Microsoft products themselves. So whenever you use Cortana, Office, Windows, Xbox, you are using Bing somehow. Bing helps to provide some immersive experiences to those products. At some point, however, Bing also evolved to power other solutions in the industry. For example, Twitter, Foursquare, Amazon. And we hope today to open up a little bit more of Bing so that you also can enrich your apps, engage, and reach millions of people. We believe that goes really hand in hand with the fact that apps are 5 times more engaging than the browser alone. And we want to leverage that opportunity, to explore that opportunity through two fronts. Vincent will tell you how to bring users more often to your app, and how to bring more users to your app, of course. He's going to talk about some really cool technologies related to app discovery and app linking. On my end, I'll tell you, once you have your users on your app, how you can keep them engaged. I'm going to talk about some data and resources that Bing provides, for example, news, images, videos, and hopefully you can complement that data with other Bing-powered solutions and data as well. You're seeing in Build, for example, maps, ads, speech, and others as well to really create your awesome app. So that's our plan. So basically, I'll briefly go through the Bing Dev Center. Then you're going to explore the Bing Search API in a little bit of more details. I'll do a bunch of demos. Then Vincent will take on explaining app discovery and app linking. And you'll finally go to our final conclusions. So let's briefly start with Bing Dev Center. If there's only one link you should remember from this talk, please make that to be dev.bing.com. Let me switch to my machine here for 1 second. There you go. So Dev Center is your first stop shop for you to know everything about the public Bing APIs and tools. You might have seen lots of the technologies we display here being presented at Build. Again, for example, maps, speech, perhaps ads. Today, I'd like us to talk a little bit more about the Search API. So the Search API, the concept sounds quite simple, right? It is an API that enables you to search. But I'd like you to really see the Search API as the window through which your app can bring the world's data to your users. For example, the most recent news about a given topic, or the most relevant images about a given text. Or perhaps you want to just grab millions of websites or page results and do something with those. I'd like to explain to you first a couple things here, which is, through the Bing Search API, you have two main scenarios. You can either embed the search results in your app, or you can programmatically consume and do something with them. And no payment is required for you to start using the APIs. There is a limit of 5,000 calls or transactions per month that you can perform, and that's for free. So you can just get started today, do a couple clicks, get a key, and start consuming the Bing Search API. Now, before we get into our first demo, let me highlight two flavors of the Search API that we have available here. You can see in the left, we have the full-fledged Bing API, and that one has 7 endpoints. You can consume each one of the first 6 endpoints to individually get results, for example, web page results, or image results, video results, news results, related searches results, and finally, spell correction results as well by calling those individual endpoints. And you can also call the composite endpoint for you to get multiple source types or multiple types of results through a single call. If your scenario, however, is more simple, like perhaps I just really want to have web results in my app, you can also call the Bing Search API the web-only version. So through that, you can actually have a smaller payload, and also the transaction cost of that one is cheaper for you. So let me go back here and see how we can explore the Bing Search API. So once I click here in the Search API, you'll see I'll be redirected to the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. That's where the Search API lives. That's where you go to get the Bing Search API data. Then, as I mentioned to you, 5,000 transactions per month, so you can get started for free. So let me click here and sign in. And I do have a test account I can use for this. That would be a horrible time for me to forget my password. And apparently I did, because it is build 2015 demo. That looks better now. And one of the first things you can do after you sign up for the Bing Search API is to actually explore the API through a kind of API console. You see a link here, explore this data set. Let's click there. And then you have a small API console that you can play around to get live data from the API. So in this case here, let's assume I want to do a query and I want to search for HoloLens. And then I can specify in the sources parameter. What are the source types, the result types I want to get back? Well, in this case, let's grab some news back from Bing, plus web results, and perhaps some video results as well. You click and apply. And here you have some of the information coming back to you live from the API. That's the total number of web results, video results, and so on. And you can expand here one of those results, perhaps news. Now you can see news coming live from Bing, and you can power your app with that kind of data. Lots of people like to use the API Explorer so that they can see, have an idea of the data that comes back from the API. I myself like to use this to also explore the endpoints that I have available and what are the response fields, or pretty much my API schema for each one of those endpoints. That helps me to get more familiarized with the API. Now, let's do a quick demo in here. You know, it is 9 a.m. in the morning. Perhaps you guys didn't have enough coffee. Let me show to you how you can actually consume data from the Bing Search API with zero coding required. All of the Bing APIs you see here are actually OData RESTful APIs. So that means if you have a tool that understands OData, like, for example, Excel, Power Pivot, then you can just pull that data and display in your solution. So this is what I want to try to do here. Let me just show you a quick screenshot of what I want to achieve. So right now I have the, I would like to do something like this. Imagine that you want just to create a list of San Francisco bars or something else with like images, titles, and links, or perhaps a list of articles, news articles about Barack Obama. You do not need to create an app from scratch for doing something like that. You can leverage already other tools that just hook into the Bing Search API to collect some data. So let's see in a couple steps how we can do that. Let me move back here to my machine. So let me start by opening Excel. Then you can check this Power Pivot tab here in the ribbon. And then you can click in Manage to manage your data. You can pull some data now into Excel. Now, you can say, I would like to get some external data from the Windows Azure Marketplace. Again, that's where the Bing Search API lives. So let me click here. Now it's going to tell you, okay, which data from the Azure Marketplace do you want to add here to Excel? In my case, that's data coming from the Bing Search API. And it might ask me to sign again. Let me just sign in really quickly. And after that's complete, you will see an interface really similar to the API Explorer we were just checking a while ago. And in this case, let's do this. Let me search for images, and I'm looking now for burrito recipes. So let's try that. Let me click and apply. You will see again data coming back from the Bing API. That looks good. This time now, when I click in Select Query, Excel is importing the data from the Bing APIs into Power Pivot. And then you'll see how we can use Power View to make some cool visualization of that data. So typically it takes a couple seconds, I believe very important right now, 1,000 rows coming from the Bing API. And I'm going to show you how your users can also refresh the data to get the most updated content in there. So it shouldn't take long, just a couple more seconds. assuming the internet cooperates, of course. There you go. So that's perfect. Power View is populated with data coming from the Bing API. Now let me just get back to my original Excel spreadsheet right here. And then I can go to Insert menu, then I can select Power View. And then the data I got back from the Bing Search API will be available in this pane right here, in the right side, for me to start selecting what fields I want to add to my report. So let's see here. The media URL, those are all the fields that are returned in the API response. So let me select here perhaps the media URL. That's the actual image in the responses. So I can click and enable content in here, and my images will be loading in a second. There you go. Let me select here the title of those images, and let me select here perhaps the source URL for people to click. Okay, that sounds good. I have some nice burrito recipes right here. Then if I click in the filters, I can, of course, perhaps weed out some results. I can do some filtering here if I want. That's not the case right now. So I can just have a name for my report. And then as you can see here, this is a regular Excel spreadsheet, right? So you can save that file, send to someone else. That person now can click and refresh and get most recent results. So that's it. With zero coding, you are able now to just pull some data from the Bing Search API and now have that added to your app. Now let's assume you want to do something else in here. You said, okay, that's great. Now I just want really to code. So for you to code, you need to do two things. First, ensure you get your account key from the Bing Search API page in the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. And of course, register your application in the Bing Azure Marketplace so that you can start authenticating against your app. So let's do that. What I want to do right now is to have a really simple Hello API World demo. I want to be able to quickly, programmatically search for web results using a command prompt app. So let's go back to my machine. And if I go to my Bing Search API page, there you go, I would like to show you two things, folks. So the first one is, if you click on My Account, right here in the account keys, you can find some keys you can use already to do some really, really quick development and start pulling Bing API data, Search API data into your app. You can create additional keys if you want, perhaps one for each app, and this will enable you to do some basic auth. By passing that key both as the username and password, you can already start collecting some data back. But of course, in the real world, you might be really willing to do something more robust. You guys might have heard about OAuth and other authentication mechanisms. So to use something like that, you can click in the Developers tab. Then you can register your application. Really similar process when you're creating perhaps like a Facebook app or Twitter app. You register your app first. You provide a client ID for that app, the name for your app. Perhaps you provide a client secret, which is the app password, and now you can use OAuth, providing that information there, and then you can have a more kind of robust sign-up. In my case here, I'll just stick with the account keys because it's a simpler mechanism for you for us to do a really quick demo. The second thing I want to show you is this. If you actually check in the Search API page in the right, it's going to tell you there is a .NET C# class library that you can consume. And that is a really easy way for you to start retrieving programmatically Bing data from the Bing Search API. I already have a solution here in Visual Studio. That's a simple command prompt solution. I already downloaded that file right here. That's my Bing Search container class. And let me just do this. Let me quickly now perhaps tell the user, enter your query. And then I'm going to, of course, read whatever the user entered. All right. And final step, I'm going to show the results from Bing passing the query as a parameter. So that's live demo here right now. Let's hope that works. For me to consume the small proxy class library that I downloaded from the Bing Search API Azure page, just a quick note that you have to add a reference to system.data.services.client. And then I need to do three simple things. First one, I have my key, the same one I was showing to you seconds ago. Second step, instantiate that proxy class, which is the Bing Search container. It receives as a parameter a URI. In this case, that's the Bing Search API URI. API, datamarketazure.com/bing/search. Now, you set the credentials of that proxy class, passing your key as the, as I mentioned, the username and the password. And finally now, the proxy class has some methods that you can use to create web queries or image queries, video queries, and so on. Right here, I'm creating a web query. And of course, you have all those other methods, video to create a video query, and then the composite method as well, which will enable you to have multiple source types being returned with only one single call. We explore this in an upcoming demo. So I have my web query right here. Now I just need to execute that query. Now I'm iterating over the results, displaying title and display URL. Really simple. Just a couple lines of code. You can now programmatically consume data from the Bing Search API in a more customized way. So let's give this a try. So my query is going to be perhaps Xbox. And then I'm getting some results back from the Bing Search API. That's great. Of course, I have a bunch of parameters that you can explore. I'm going to touch them in a while. So that's good. Now we have a really simple Hello World application. What else can we do with the Bing APIs? What other more interesting scenarios we can just light up using the Bing Search APIs? Let's imagine we are developing a modern app that is called Shared Lists. The idea of this app is that two or more people can actually start collecting and saving websites, news, images of a given topic that they're exploring together. So in this case here, imagine that Vincent and I would like to save some interesting things we're finding here at Build. So we're going to explore, we're going to create an app powered by Bing that enables us to achieve that scenario. In this case, I'm actually going to show you how you can use more modern technologies for you to get Bing APIs data, like the web API, the HTTP client classes, doing async calls. And then I'm going to tell you how you can actually choose between serializing the data you get back from Bing either through data contracts or actually just doing some dynamic serialization. It is really up to you depending on your scenario. So let's explore that. So let me go back to my machine. There you go. And I have a second solution right here, shared lists. It's pretty much empty with some just a couple of event handlers right here. And that's my main page. My main page has just some, you know, UI controls, but that's in the end an empty app. It has no data. Let's see how we can hook some Bing data into that specific app. So one of the things I want to highlight to you first is, as I mentioned, all of the Bing APIs are RESTful, all data feeds. So if you go to a tool like Postman and just call here the Bing APIs using a really regular, simple HTTP GET call, that's it. You get some JSON data back. In this specific case, I'm actually calling the web endpoint, and I'm actually passing in my query Xbox as the parameter. The percentage 27 is just for me to escape the single quote that's required for all string parameters. And then as you can see here, dollar $format equals JSON gives me some JSON data back. So if you want perhaps to embed that data into your iOS app, your Android app, that's possible as well. Right now, let's just do this calling using a modern app, a Windows Store app in C Sharp. So first step, let me initially actually have define my URL that I want to build. So in this case here, I'm calling the composite endpoint, as I mentioned to you. And the composite endpoint has a sources parameter that tells what is the kind of data I want to get back from the Bing Search API. Here I have web plus, that's the escape character for plus, images and news and spell corrections, right? Then I'm specifying my query. I just have a placeholder in here for now. And again, format equals JSON. So that's my query, that's my URL actually, and that's my key. Now, whenever the user taps in the search button, let's see what's going to happen. I'd like to show some results again. This time, whatever the user had, results for whatever the user had in the query text box. Perfect. You will see now, I already added a reference to the Web API 2.2 client package using Nugget, so it's right here. And then now in the show results, let me just make this to be my query. You will see I can consume that data in a really similar way in which I was also consuming that through the proxy class. So let me now invoke my composite call. As you can see here, let me just add an async modifier since we're here having some async calls right now. So I use my HTTP client class normally. The only difference here is that I'm specifying an HTTP client handler that sets my network credentials as I did before. Now, I'm calling a get method. The get async method, that's a get HTTP call, passing that URL and my actual query. So this should be my query, actually, that I'm receiving as a parameter. Now, in my response, I'm just reading that response. And in this case, I'm serializing the response into a data contract class called Bing Search Results, which is right here. And you might be asking me, hey, Andre, how did you really build is Bing search results class. Well, there's a small trick in Visual Studio you might know already. Whenever you're here, we have some JSON data, and then you get this raw data. If you copy that to your clipboard, then you go back to Visual Studio, then you can always paste that data especially. I'm saying paste special, paste my JSON and my clipboard as classes, and there you go. I have a data contract class for me right here. That's a small trick that you can use, and that's what I did in this case. So I serialized that data that I received back from the Bing Search APIs into my Bing Search results. And again, the only difference now is that this time I'm actually just creating a list of all the objects I get back. For example, web results, image news, I just put all of those things together in a single list, and I bind that to my results grid, which is a UI element that I have in there. And then I have, of course, some code that says how the UI should be rendered according to the data it receives back. I think that looks good. Let's give that a try. So let me run this code. Hopefully the demo gods are with me today. And let's search for HoloLens. After a couple seconds, hopefully, there you go, we have some data coming back. This time I have now web results, images as well, and some news results as well. So the idea is that now I can start clicking and saving those results and start building my list. Now, what is really the interesting thing we can do on top of this? This might be one of the most important slides of this presentation right now, which shows to you that by using the Bing APIs, you can leverage lots of things that Bing.com already has. Lots of the common logic, capabilities, optimizations we did in Bing.com, you also get that through the APIs. It comes with it when you are using the APIs. For example, here, you know that Bing is global by design, right? If you're using Bing from a different place like Brazil, you get results relevant to Brazil, not relevant to the United States. If I go back to my code right here, you will see something quite similar. There you go. Let me launch my app again, and let me search for games. And right now, you will see I have English US results, okay? United States websites, or at least that are relevant to the United States market. If the user of this app actually takes this app over to Brazil and runs that same query there, he's gonna get actually Brazilian Portuguese results that are more relevant to them. You can, of course, override or have some kind of fallback behavior through the market parameter. So with a really simple modification right here, let me just add a new parameter called market to my URL, and this time PTBR, which is the market code for Brazil. And let me just escape that again using single quotes. So if I run that again, and I search for the same thing, for example, games, this time now I get results relevant to the Brazilian Portuguese market, not the English market. The second thing that you get, pagination support. Of course, you might not really be willing to display all results at once, so we do support count and skip parameters, actually dollar top and dollar skip parameters that you can use as the number of results you want to get back, and of course, as the offset that you want to retrieve your API results from. So in this case here, let me just create another URL, and let me specify end dollar top equals 2. So I just want to get the first 2 results in here. And for simplicity, let me just retrieve here web and images. Let's assume I do not want news and spell anymore. And let's run it again. So this time, let me search for Bill Gates. And I get only 2 web results and only 2 images because I specified that as a parameter. What else we have in here? Hit highlight. Do you know when you go to Bing.com or right here, you search for something like games again? And then in the results, you get some things which are bolded that hopefully they will just make users to engage more. You can get that bolding behavior from the API as well. You specify web options equals hit highlight, and the APIs will give you back now some special charge that you can use to bold some specific relevant terms that you get in the result. So that's also something that comes with the APIs. Adult parameters. So eventually, you might want to change the safe search settings of your API. So the 3 options are strict, moderate, and off. Those are the same as in Bing.com. You can also pass a parameter that changes that and sets that in your app as well, if that's part of your scenario. Query alteration, that's something really interesting. So let me go back here and run this again. Let me just do this. I do not want the Portuguese market anymore. Let me just revert that, and I want all the results. There you go. So let's imagine the user, they just, hold on here. Yeah, I probably did something stupid. Probably that's still commented out. There you go. So users, they just mistype things all the time, right? As a user, when I'm filling my forms and everything, I just have a lot of, lots of typos now and then. And if the user actually searches for something like Billy Geddes instead of Bill Gates, we do not want to penalize that user by showing no results for Bill Gates, which very likely was the user intent in the first place. So when you go to Bing.com, Bing knows that and tells you, hey, actually, I think you were meaning Bill Gates, so let me show results for Bill Gates. That behavior is true for the API as well. So if you search for Billy Geddes, it's going to show you Bill Gates results. And you can override that behavior if you want, and then you'll be getting some Billy Geddes barbecue in Texas somewhere instead of the Bill Gates specific results. So the API supports that. Finally, filtering. You can filter API results by, you can filter web page results by type. You can say, only give me back web results which are of type PDF or Word documents. You can do that passing a filter parameter. Perhaps you can want to filter your results for a specific domain. You could say, give me only results for a specific domain like recipes.com and not all results of the web. You can do that if you want as well. And have some other kind of filtering behaviors. I want to show you what you want to do here as one of our last demos, which is imagine you want to get image results, however, only black and white image results. And let's imagine that you also want to get all those, that all of those image results, actually, they have faces in them. To do that, you just need to specify in your image filters the color as being monochrome, that provides you the black and white behavior, and the face equals face. The other possible value for face is portrait. That means do not give my face as really as a close-up, but more in a kind of a portrait behavior. You can specify that. So let's give that one a try. Let me move back here. And let me just add a new URL. This time now that contains an image filter. Right here. So I'm saying the same thing you had in the slide. Like image filters is color monochrome, face, face. And that's it. Just by having a really simple parameter, you can run that again. Now let's search for something like music. And this time now, you only get black and white results that contains faces. So you can see here Frank Sinatra, you can see John Lennon. If I search for science, then you can see here Albert Einstein, Carl Sagan, and others. That's pretty cool. You can just tweak some parameters to get some specific results in there. And this slide has, as a reference, lots of the other results or the other filters that you can employ. So for example, you can also filter images by size, aspect ratio, the style. You can filter videos by duration, aspect, resolution. And news, that's quite interesting. You can say, only give me back news which are business news or health news, world news, US news, science news. You can specify all of those as part of your filter parameters as well. Now, what about this? What about the spell suggestions and spell corrections? And that's not, again, search-specific, really, guys. This is something that you can use in any kind of app. You want, really, to suggest users some spell corrections. Can you do that? Yes, that's quite simple. In my code that I have right here, let me move back to my original full URL. I do not need the image one anymore. And here, when I'm grabbing my results, I'm just going to inspect if, in the API response, I get any spell suggestions. And that's it. If we have more than one spell suggestion, they can actually display that to the user. And I'm just, right here, this code is just enabling some UI component in there that says, hey, I'm including results for this corrected term in here. Do you really want results for the thing you just typed? So let's give that a try. Let me search again for Billy Geddes in this case. And now you can get a spell correction right here telling you, hey, you know, I really think you're meaning something else. Here is a spell correction for you. And then you can define what behavior you want to trigger here. Perhaps you can redo the search, now specifically using that user-specific term that they provided. All right, and then as part of my last demo, before I bring Vincent in to talk about app discovery and linking, is about how well does Bing APIs or the search API integrates with other APIs, for example, the translator APIs and other tools and services you see actually as part of the Bing Dev Center. Quite easy. Let's imagine here that in our app, whenever I move the mouse over a given result, I want to see a small translation of that result. Or whenever I click on a given result, I see a small translation in there. So I have some quick code in here for the actual translation API. And you'll see the way I call that API is quite similar to the way you call the Bing Search API. The same three steps. First, you have your URL. So in this case here, the endpoint for the translator API is /Bing/Microsoft Translator. Then I can specify to and from parameters. I can say from English, for instance, to Spanish, getting that in JSON as well. And then, of course, I have to provide the text that I want to retrieve from the user. Once I have that, I actually retrieve what is the actual textual information I want to get that I want to translate. And then really, really similar thing you have seen before. We have an HTTP client that I just consume, pass in my client handler with my keys. And then this time now, check how interesting. When I call my translator API and I get my response, I'm not serializing that to a data contract class anymore. What I'm doing here, I'm just doing some dynamic serialization. And then you can, in real time, have those fields to actually be inspected, and then that's how you'll be finding the actual value for those fields. Let's give that one a try as well. So let's do here search for Bill Gates. And let's choose some text to translate here. So I have some news stuff down here. Let's see, Bill Gates, you can help the world save 34 million lives. So let me click here. And then right here I get my translation. Bill Gates, puedes ayudar al mundo salvar vidas. I do not speak Spanish, I speak Portuguese, so that's the best Spanish you'll ever hear from me. But that's it. That's how you can integrate some of the translator functionality with the search API. And hopefully you can also integrate other stuff you're learning at Build, maps, ads, speech, and create a really compelling experience. So I just want to highlight to you folks that in the end, the Bing APIs, the search APIs, they are not really simply a widget that only webmasters can, you know, move and drop in their pages for end users to see a translation of that page. That's really a full-fledged API that you can use for all of your scenarios in the way that you want. So again, I think the key thing to highlight here is that whatever you have already in Bing.com, global by design, lots of the supports for many different filters, all of that, spell corrections, query alterations, all of that is made available to you through the APIs as well. And again, it takes just a couple clicks for you to get started and start consuming the APIs. There's no need for you really to even have a credit card to start playing around and checking that out. So please go to dev.bing.com, explore the Bing Search API. And with that, I'm just going to call Vincent in so that he can tell you now, once that you have your app, how you can make your app much more discoverable and have your users to come back there more often. Thank you, Vincent. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. Hey, guys. Thanks for coming out this early in the morning. This was amazing. But now that Andre kind of showed us how easy it is to make our apps stand out with smarter experiences using, you know, the family of Bing APIs, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, you know, how we can make apps more discoverable. I want to talk about how you can reach and engage millions of people. I want to talk about how we at Bing think about making your apps more discoverable and connect them to the people and get them into hands users. Bing is the key provider of intelligence to Windows, Microsoft products as a whole, and Cortana and Windows 10 in specific. I want to talk about app discoverability. And when we talk about app discoverability, really we talk about three things. Especially when we talk about it through search, we need to think about how people just find apps through searches for an app name or a category search. But a much more natural and common way for people to search is to search for content. So I want to talk about content discovery in apps. And finally, people want to do something with your app. They want to complete a task, perform an action. So we need to talk about app action discovery as well. When it comes to app discovery and searching for app names and category searches for apps, the story has got you covered very well. And as a developer, you don't really have to do a whole lot of thing other than publish your app to the store, fill out the correct metadata, and that makes it accessible through the search catalog that's in the store. And what's more, it is also showing up in a universal search box. What's new, though, is that as people engage and install your app and review and rate it, that intelligence from the store is now also plugged in to Bing.com's intelligence platform. And we can start showing app results as Hero Answers in Bing.com, not just in the store or in the universal search box, but on Bing.com in the browser on Windows 10. So that's another canvas where people can find and explore your app. So that's great stuff. And naturally, the store listings have a web equivalent. And those web equivalents are indexed and crawled by all the search engines at large, including Bing, Google, and all the other guys. And what's great with Universal Store, there's now just one listing for your app, and no more that bifurcation of SEO ranking power between the different stores that distract from you ranking as well as you can. However, that's really great if people kind of know your app name already, or they're searching in a category where your app already is kind of an incumbent leader and a category leader. But as we said, people search differently. What they really want to do in a more natural way is to search for content and things to do. So as it turns out, today's app model is kind of broken for that search behavior. There really is an app for everything, and people have to go into the app to kind of discover the content that they want and the actions that they want to perform on them. And often it's kind of like a trial and error process. You need to open up an app, see if the content that you want is there, see if you can do what you want with it, watch that movie, read that book. At Bing, we think there's a better model, a model that better suits the way people search in that more natural way, but also a model that helps developers bring their app to the attention of users as they search in that more natural way. So that's why with Windows 10, we're bringing Bing's application and action intelligence to Cortana in Windows 10. And we're going to make it easy for developers like yourself to participate in that new canvas by allowing you to use standardized markup to make the content available to the search engine. So how are we going to do this? We're going to allow you to improve your app discovery and app discoverability by using app links. Applinks.org will allow you to show your app in search results in an appified way, so that when people find content, they can open it in your immersive experience on their Windows device. And to find actions and to bring that understanding to Bing and Cortana, we're going to allow you to mark up your page with schema.org and use the schema.org actions vocabulary to make those actions known to us. Now, let's see how we're going to do this. Click. So, app links first. Hold on. I have a little bug here. There you go. So, when it comes to app links, it's really quite a simple protocol if you think about it. App links takes the known concept of the URL and creates a relationship with the URI that allows us to launch the app on the device. This is great because this URL is kind of a known concept, easy to understand. That relationship is easy to create. But what's especially great is that you can publish this URL, share it, link to it from other websites, link to it from app to app. And we're going to index those relationships in Bing, and we're already building one of the biggest app linking indexes in the industry today. Now, what's important is the ease in which you can enable this. It only involves three things. One, you marked up that published URL with applinks.org metadata. Second, you register a protocol handler for your app so that your app can be opened by using protocol invocation. And then finally, you handle the URI activation event in your app to kind of guide the user to the content that we've just shown in the search result. So, marking up your published pages is pretty straightforward. App links really has only a simple couple of meta properties that you can add to your web page that corresponds with your app content. Let me show you an example here where we're doing this for a universal Windows app. So you see there's only a couple of handful of properties that you need to add. A URL that points to the URI that you want to open in the app. the app ID, which corresponds to your app store ID, an app name, which is not required, but it's just useful to kind of have that in there as disambiguation. And finally, also not required, but smart to do, you can add your package family name so that we can disambiguate if there's multiple protocol handlers for the same protocol. You publish this to the web, and Bing will understand and create that relationship with your app. Now, when you've done that, you need to register the protocol handler. And luckily, that's super easy to do as well with store apps. All it really takes is a small extension to your application manifest. And it looks similar to this. Here's an example where I'm adding a handler for the Contoso scheme to my app. In Visual Studio, it's even easier. If you open a Visual Studio and you go open your deployment package, basically go to the Declarations tab, select protocol from the available declarations, and fill out the right metadata to make that happen. You know, and the first time, really, when you do this and you press F5 just to debug your app, at that point, your app is already registered locally. So every time somebody installs it, the same thing. And you can do Windows R or something and type in Contoso colon and whack. You can start the app from right there. But just starting the app is not going to be enough, right? Because you want us to open the app in the same location that was the location of the content that corresponds to the corresponding web page. So finally, what you need to do is you handle URI activation. And again, that's pretty trivial to do. Basically, all it takes is in your app to overwrite the unactivated event handler and then inspect the arguments to see what the activation kind is. In this case, it's the protocol. And at that point, basically, you can look and inspect the arguments to see what the incoming URI request was. And then you can navigate to the right view in your app. And your service might look slightly differently, but it's very easy to do. And a debugging tip, when you're kind of debugging this unactivated handler, instead of just pressing F5 to debug your app, obviously you need to make sure that you can open the app so that it gets activated in that way. So a very quick tip, you can go into your options and go to the start action section and flag do not launch but debug my code when it starts. Then press F5, now launch your app, let's say from Windows R, with the URI that you wanted to start. And at that point, the debugger will attach to that app and you can have your breakpoint right in there. Yeah, you can try this out later today, it's very cool. Now, what's also great, and these guys are gonna talk about this in even more detail, there's a session later today, 7:65, where they are talking about not specifically about app linking for search, but app linking to create a web of apps, how apps can link to each other. So some of that debugging tips and some of these things that you can do there will be presented in much more detail. Now, we saw that people like to search for content and actions that they can perform on them. It's really the most natural way. We know that people search for people, places, things, entities, and then they want to do something with it. So how now can we make Bing smart enough and Cortana through Bing to expose actions that our app can perform on content through search? So as we said, we're going to use schema.org markup to make that happen. But first, before we look at the answer, let's look at the question. So somebody might be saying, listen to Coraline. And Coraline is a kind of a scary kid story, so I want to listen to that before I play that to my kids on my way to the airport or something like that. And clearly we have an action here, listen action, and an entity, Coraline, which in this case is a book, or in fact it's, you know, an audiobook that I want to listen to. So we're going to use schema.org. And if you haven't heard about schema.org, it's really a standardized way that can be used up to markup web pages. But there's also markup for emails to basically bring structured data to the web. And it was really focused on describing entities, such as books, such as movies, such as people, places, and organizations. But they also understood that people wanted to do things with those entities. So in 2014, they added the action vocabulary to schema.org. And that's what we're going to leverage, because it allows us to connect potential actions to entities. And it allows us to specify entry points for those action entity actions. So, and that includes apps, web pages, and so on and so forth. Okay, so let's look at an example. Staying with the Coraline example, we need to mark up our pages, and we can mix this with applinks.org. That's no problem at all. Register the protocol handler for the app, and handle URI activation inside the app. And the good news is, the first few things we've already done, right? So we don't have to do that again. So let's look up what that markup looks like. Now, I'm going to stick with the Coraline example. And here is some schema.org markup. I hope you can see this. It's kind of small. I've compacted that into JSON-LD, but it could be microformats inside HTML as well. And this already describes the entity Coraline. It tells me it's the type book. I've added an additional type. It's actually an audiobook. The author, it's ISBN number for unique identification. So this clearly tells you about, oh, this page is about the entity Coraline, which is an audiobook. But that doesn't mean a lot. I don't want to do something with that entity. So let's look at what that example would be when we add a potential action. So in this case, we use the potential action attribute to add an action type. And the type is play action. And you can specify targets for that play action. One target could just be the web URL itself, where you might be able to play the audiobook through the web browser, or maybe even listen to a sample or something like that. But the other is an entry point that uses a similar way of invocation as Applinks does. So the URL template kind of maps to Applinks URL. And it shows you the URL template, basically the scheme, Audible, and the path that leads to that particular book inside the Audible app. And we've specified that it's a software application, and the ID is the store ID. Yeah, name is Audible, operating system. In this case, it's a Windows Phone 8.1 app. But you get the picture. We've now successfully connected the entity to the potential action. And Bing crawls this information and adds it to the intelligence platform. Now, this is really the best way of telling us and letting us know about mapping entities to actions. That doesn't mean that we do not understand it without it, but the more you can give us that accurate information, the better we will get at pinpointing the exact relationship between entities and actions. We try to infer a lot of things, and Bing's pretty good at inferring entities and actions out of unstructured data, but adding this structured data really increases your chances of being a candidate for that action answer in Cortana. Now, that's all good. Maybe I can quickly show this in here. We're in the process of working on this and rolling this out, and we have a prototype for you. Hold on. I'll never make it as a hand model. Okay. So let's perform this Bing search. Hold on. There you go. So now we have the Coraline entity. And we have an app that can perform the action that the user requested. So let's see what that looks like. Can you see this?
This is Audible.
There you go. So there you see. Just by having the action and the entity, and not even having to call out the app name, in this case, we were able to launch the Audible app. And I want to thank the Audible folks that kind of helping us build out this prototype. Now, a couple of takeaways. It is a really great idea to start now, both with Applinks and with schema.org, because we're already actively crawling the web and extracting that information ahead of Windows 10 launch. The action answer, as you just saw the example for Audible, will come along with Windows 10. Okay, gotcha, sorry. Yeah, so we want you to start now. The action answer will come in certain segments. We will start it out and roll in and out, books, movies, music, and we'll keep expanding on that as Windows 10 progresses. And the time to get an edge, and there's no pun intended in light of the name announcement yesterday, the time to get an edge is now. So if you onboard AppLynx and schema.org now, your chances are much higher of participating in the Cortana Canvas early on in that Windows 10 launch cycle. With that, I want to point out a couple of quick tools to get you help you get stuff done. First of all, Webmaster Tools. I'm not calling this out just because I own the Webmaster Experiences, but Webmaster Tools really is the free service that allows you to kind of monitor how we crawl and index your pages. And it gives you data back. It's a free service. All it requires is a Microsoft account to sign up. But that way, you can even submit URLs and so on and so forth. And finally, just to make it a little bit easier to get started with AppLynx.org, we've published a little test app that allows you to extract AppLynx. Let me see if I can just switch here. OK. Let me show you how this works. Yeah, again, we've put it behind an account. Yeah, so a quick little AppLynx markup tester. What it does some lightweight validation, but it shows you if we can extract successfully the AppLynx.org markup on your page. I've prepared a little website that contains several examples. Yeah, let's do the example. Let's do the example that Andrea just had. All right, so here, oh, you cannot see this one. There you go, sorry, my apologies. Yeah, so I went to aka.ms/whack/applinks, and I could enter the URL here. And as soon as I fetch the URL, I will see what we can extract. Obviously, this is test markup. You wouldn't have all these things in there, but here you can see we were able to extract Windows 8 markup, Windows Phone markup, Windows Universal markup from this particular page, but also iOS markup and Android, because that works on those platforms too. And we have some lightweight validation that tells you, oh, there might be a typo in what you've specified in terms of the platform. Yeah, so very easy to quickly get a look. If you want to see what, let's just quickly see what that looks like on the published page. Yeah, so basically, I exerted my incredible web developer skills to create the same web corresponding web page to the HoloLens app. And if you look into the source, you see this kind of AppLynx.org markup. Yeah. The rest is really just for an example, but you can see this works on many, many device platforms. Very simple to do and great for users. Now we can link your apps to our search results and entities to actions. All right, with that, I want to bring Andre back up. And talk about our calls to action today.
Thank you, Vincent. That is great. So basically, with just some simple markups, you can make now your apps much more discoverable and just point users specifically deeply inside the app to launch the actions that you want. So that's
exactly.
Awesome.
And the good thing is, it's not proprietary. Those are open standards that we can use everywhere on different device types, and we bring Windows 10 into this in a big way.
Awesome. AppLynx.org, schema.org. Great. So folks, thanks again for joining us today. I believe the link I'd like to leave you with is dev.bing.com. If you go in there, you'll find all of the services, the APIs, and tools we have been exploring today. And we also released a Bing Solutions website. If you go to bing.com/solutions, you'll find the overall Bing Solutions, not only the tech ones, but also all the business solutions we can provide you. I do recommend you to check that as well. And then if you go to dev.bing.com and click on the Search API, or just go directly through the link you can see here in the second bullet in the slide, you can get more information on the Search API, sign up. You've seen me you saw me exploring lots of different parameters of the API. All the documentation is in there as well. And finally, some people, they really get interested in the translation thing. I just really scratched the surface with a really quick demo. You can explore more in the Microsoft Translator Hub website. That's hub.microsofttranslator.com. Vincent, what about the calls to action for the App Link and App Discovery stuff?
Yeah, so thank you, Andrea. And participating in Cortana and especially Action Answer, start now. We're working on crawling the web and creating those relationships. Enable applinks.org, enable schema.org, protocol handling, and URI activation. We did this for your app, actually. Mm-hmm. I made you do this, and it took us 5 minutes to actually to make this happen. And enhance entity-centric pages that are about entities, people, places, things, with that actions markup. And finally, use the free Bing tools that we have. Use the APIs. Use the webmaster tools to stay up to date about how we crawl and index your website. And use little things like the App Links markup tester. And we will keep expanding that set of capabilities for developers over the coming months. With that.
Yeah, that's great. So we do have also this channel for you to provide feedback, which is aka.ms/bingdevfeedback. We are opening this website for all developers to tell us what is the direction we should take moving forward with our APIs, tools, and services. So if you can drop us a comment in there, you can check other people's contribution in there and vote on their suggestions as well. That would be great. We'd like to listen more to our developer community and be able now to just steer off our APIs and tools in the right direction. And we also have a booth in the third floor until build finishes. I think that's 3 p.m. today, so there's always someone in there. Just go there, talk to us, explore more demos. I have a bunch of other things to show, like the Bing Developer Assistant plugin to Visual Studio, a couple of other things in there as well. So please drop by. We're on the third floor. It would be great to have you in there.
Perfect. And we hope you like the session. Please evaluate us. I know we are a small but elite group here today. So please leave your feedback. We appreciate your coming very much. And enjoy the rest of Build, and safe trips home if you're traveling home today or in the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.